Let's begin now.
Like, I need a cigarette after that post-game show. Good God. What do you want to talk about tonight? Gorgeous day, opening day, an unannounced holiday. Should be a holiday. One of those, like, sub-holidays. Super Bowl Sunday, the next day should be a holiday. Opening day should be a holiday. Beautiful day, terrible result. But again, I'm not Vern. I'm not at the level of pissed off. Vern was heated. Vern might be going home tonight and having himself a nice glass of bourbon and a little back patio session. He's got a nice back patio, I believe. I don't think I've ever been there, so I'm just speculating. But hey, you still got a lot of sports going on tonight. For those of you that had Clemson over Arizona in the Sweet 16, congratulations. Clemson doing their job to make the upset in the Sweet 16 happen. Right now, the only game going on is UConn versus San Diego State. UConn is currently up 27-21. Royals lose. But hey, that's why you play 162. That's why this season goes on for 9 months. Good thing they haven't shortened the season yet. But it was a fun day. I had a great time out there today. I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of people there. It was great to see. I did hear one caller complain that, you know, the crowd wasn't there. That's a lie. If you were there and you were in the seats, and it was electric. I'm not saying it was playoff baseball electric, but it was good. It was a good crowd. The weather was nice for once. It didn't snow on opening day. The pregame band that played, let me tell you something here. And I tweeted this out. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get married. Not that anybody cares. But I don't know if I am. But if I do, I need someone to let me know contact information of who that band's members are, because I could let them play at my wedding all damn night. Chris, I think even you would have respected the music. They were playing everything. At one point, they collabed Mr. Brightside and Starships. Never thought I'd see the day.
I don't know what that second song is.
Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah.
Starships are made to fly, something like that. But they collabed it.
I haven't really messed with Nicki since Pink Friday.
Okay. I don't really know any songs by her other than that one.
Yeah.
And the boom, boom, boom bass or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's, what is that?
This one's for the players in the polos.
That's on Pink Friday. I can't remember the name of it.
Something like that.
Super bass.
Okay, yeah. Not boom, boom, bass.
Yeah, it's super bass.
But again, Royals lose 4-1. Cole Reagans looked great. I mean, set the single season strikeout record for an opening day game for a Royals pitcher. That's a positive. Michael Garcia tied the game up early. That's a positive. Yeah, they said they mashed up the Killers, Fall Out Boy, and Blink-182 all in one song. It was great. The best part of the game was the pregame. I did a couple of laps around the stadium trying to see if there was a quick trip somewhere hidden. Was not. Should have known. But either way, Andy Reid looked great. I thought he was going to come out in a Hawaiian shirt. No. Nope. Just came out in the same sort of shirt he'd wear on the sidelines for the Chiefs, but in royal blue.
It's like he requested it. Yeah. He's like, hey, give me the same one I come out with the Chiefs.
The exact same shirt.
That was his request.
It was that windbreaker poncho-ish type of shirt.
The coach's shirt that the Chiefs have, but in Royals blue.
Out of Hawaiian shirts, how many total shirts are in Andy Reid's closet? Four?
Out of Hawaiian shirts, probably it can't be more than like five.
He's got a couple of Chiefs ones that I feel like are at One Arrowhead Drive, so that doesn't count.
Yeah.
He's got that Royals one that's probably been stashed. And I will say this, it was a good time. Not only that, there was all the political stuff you'd think. They had a moment in the game where they put the Vote Yes campaign on the Crown Vision.
Yeah.
And you knew it was coming.
Yeah, we knew.
Me and Alex were sitting right next to each other, Goldeneye, and I'm going, what inning do you think it hits? Third, fourth, fifth? I believe it was like the fourth or fifth inning.
I figured it'd be earlier. I figured it'd be like second
while
or third.
While they're there. But they want to make sure everybody was in the seats.
Yeah.
Because then a banner came down that said Vote No.
Yeah.
No one saw it, though.
Of course no one saw it.
But everybody saw the sign, and there was no boo. There was not a lot of boos. Out of the 39,000 people there today, how many do you think, percentage-wise, are voting yes?
I would say probably at least 75% of
people. That's what Goldeneye said. We said probably 70% of people are going to vote yes.
At least 70% of people that were at that stadium absolutely will vote yes.
I got sunburnt, too, unfortunately. My pasty white ass, my cheeks are red and they're hot. You always know when you get sunburned, at least I do, because I'm like, why is it so hot in this building? It's not hot, brother. It's you. Got to start packing some sunscreen. Hey, Dusty, the Royals need to step it up. I'm sorry, but the offense was trash today. It's going to be a long 100-loss season. Andy Reid was the only thing to cheer about today. No dome, no roof, no vote. Okay. Okay.
I guess you're just not going to vote.
That's fair.
I guess you're just not going to vote.
The other thing that makes me think about is how many people are saying vote no that aren't Jackson County residents?
I would assume a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's a lot of non-Jackson County residents who are pushing for this.
Yeah.
I think some of it is kind of a little sketchy because they were like, hey, I want the Royals and Chiefs to move over to the Kansas side. Mm-hmm. So I do think there's some of that, but yeah.
Hey, do you? Nah, we don't get too political. Somebody says Lost Wax played my wedding in 2017. Highly recommended. You might remember they were the house band at the draft last year too.
Ooh. Okay. So that was the band. Okay.
Okay.
That's good. They were good.
Yeah,
they
dude.
They were a good band.
Yeah, they were good. They did exactly what you'd want a house band to do.
Yeah.
They play bangers that everybody knows. You may not like every song, but man, when they hit that September song, and I was bobbing my head.
Yeah, they were good. When I went out there that Saturday,
mm-hmm.
I was out there killing it.
Yeah, it was a good band. I like house bands.
It was getting cooked out there because it was a little hot out there.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was nice.
It was hot today. I mean, it had to be hot up there today. I'm sure it was warm. It was chilly at first. Windy as all hell.
Yeah,
but hey,
the wind did pick up.
Yeah. The app says I'm listening to After Hours, but it's still playing Fox Sports National Sports Radio. I don't know what I wish I could fix that, but I can't. That's out of my power. But no, opening day was good. Obviously, they lose. Let's be real quick, because I know Chris is champing at the bit to talk about this international rugby player.
100%.
1,000%.
I watched, the NFL has a UK channel, and I watched, they have like three episodes. They have like this series. It's kind of like...
You and Beakley are the only people that know this channel exists.
100%. Yeah. 100%. I literally just stumbled on it after I searched his name on YouTube.
Yeah.
And yeah, like there's like a little short, like mini doc series on the international player pathway program.
Yeah, which is interesting.
It's interesting. It's actually they train over at IMG Academy down in Orlando, Florida, mm-hmm. and he was like the star of the show.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
He kind of reminds me of like the Cristiano Ronaldo of rugby.
Yeah, he was like one of the young up and comers. He was like the...
He's only 23.
Yeah, he's only 23. He's real young. He was kind of like Kylian Mbappe before the World Cup. He was kind of like that. Like, mm-hmm. everyone knows this kid was about to be, like, one of the world-class guys, but he wasn't quite there yet.
Mm-hmm. Somebody says, I picked up a Vote Yes sign after the game. Five people nicely asked me where they could get one, and one drunk lady screamed in my face, Vote No! I did take one for a couple of reasons, because I think this is a historic, I know it is an historic time of our time in the city. So, like, even if whatever happens, I'll always have that sign. But it was funny. There were, like, people when I was carrying out, they're, like, kind of giving you that stank eye.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Haters gonna hate, man.
It is what it is.
I don't know. But no, opening day, Royals fall 4-1. Plenty of games left. Tomorrow night is the last full week episode of After Hours. So you get tonight until 9 o'clock, and then we'll be back tomorrow night from 6 until 9, and then season 2 is over. I'm surprised I made it I'm surprised I made it one season without getting fired. I'll be straight up honest with you.
You've been here for 9 years, almost 9 years.
I haven't had my own show, though.
You've had your own show for what, like...
I had like
the
Saturday
last 3 or 4 years.
2 years. This is the second is year years? Of After Hours. Yep.
Is it 2 years? No, you've been on the you've been on the air for a while.
On the air, but like filling in Saturday shows, you know. But there's been people before me that had that night show.
I don't have we had, I don't think we've had anybody that got fired from it. They've moved on to other things.
That's fair.
I don't know if anybody got fired from
That's fair.
It.
Yeah, no one's ever been fired from it. Well.
No, nobody's gotten fired from it.
Well, one guy got removed.
He got removed.
That's like a nice fired.
Nice fired, yeah.
And then it turned 180. But either way, I digress. But yes, we will talk on the other side of the break of this new acquired Chiefs player and why it just seems so par for the course from everything that's going on. You've got Chris Nocero here. You know he is part of the Character Concerns podcast. New episode's already out. Go check it out. Download it. Listen to it. The draft is literally going to be here before you blink. I mean, April is literally like four days away.
We are a month away from this thing, and it's coming by really quick.
And I feel like the Super Bowl just ended.
Yeah. It literally last month the Super Bowl was over, and now we're a month away from the draft. It goes by so quick.
We got the draft, WrestleMania. We got all this stuff coming up. And on the other side, we'll talk about, Mr. Zammit on the other side. And how do you say his first name? Luis? Louis? Louise?
I think it's Louis.
Okay.
It's Louis Reese Zammit.
And you know what his nickname is, right?
Reese Lightning.
That's damn right. This is After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
There's a lot of you that have this mindset right now.
Opening day, and here's the first pitch. And the season's over.
Let's just relax. I already got tweeted at. This team's going to stink one game. Let's just all relax. Let's have some positivity.
I mean, it might be true, but yeah, it's a little too early to just prognosticate the entire season away. Like
season's
that.
Over. It's like, remember when the Chiefs lost, like 3 out of 5?
Yeah, they lost that Lions game and everyone was freaking out.
Yeah, it was one game. They had their 2-star players out.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney just lost in the game.
They'd have won if he sat.
Yeah, as soon as they took him out and stopped playing him, they started winning again.
Mm-hmm. After he dropped that pass in New England that led to a pick.
It was like, yeah, how about you sit down, Toney?
Well, that's when Mahomes said, I've had enough of that. From the 816.
Sit his ass down.
Took a half day from work. It's been a beautiful day at the ballpark. Can't complain too much. I think the team will come around. There you go. Dusty Amazon driver here. The game looked decent today from what I had on the radio. Seems like they just need to get the batch going. And the fielding seems pretty decent, but also it's only one game. Exactly. Power of positivity. Just keep pushing P. I think that's what that song means.
And in 2014, they struggled to hit early in the season. Mm-hmm. It took them a little while, especially like Haas and Moose. They struggled to hit. As soon as they made the playoffs, everything flipped, and all of a sudden those guys could hit, and the offense looked a lot better. So
wasn't it last year they didn't score a run? It's like the fourth game or like the fifth game.
I don't recall.
They went like three games in a row.
That sounds something like the 23 Royals.
Yeah, and then they hit a home run with their first player that came up to the plate.
Yeah,
I kind of like Michael.
Yeah, I like Michael.
He's kind of sneaky assassin.
Yeah, I like him. I think that was a good choice to having him lead off there.
Yeah.
Hopefully he doesn't try to swing for the fences every time he's up there, but yeah, it's good to see that.
Yeah. You can get Vern again on Saturday and Sunday. Tomorrow's an off day, as always, after opening day. You get that Friday off just in case there is some sort of postponement to the game. But Kansas City, you might have a little bit of lightning. Actually, you might not. You might have a lot of lightning in your roster next year. This kid can make the team.
Chiefs, this is what the Chiefs do. They're inventive. They won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, back-to-back. And if you can get another weapon, another speed guy for Patrick Mahomes, well, that's a big plus. See, the Chiefs are really excited about this. This wasn't just, oh, let's go see what this guy can do. They did their homework. They thought he did really, really well at the International Pro Day. We've seen some guys have success there. And they felt like this guy is a tremendous athlete. There's no downside, only upside.
So sometimes you get blessed with breaking news at 7:30 during a nighttime show. Like, I should never get breaking news. But it seems like every once in a while, there's a story that comes out that electrifies your audience. Then sometimes you get lucky, and the Royals now in baseball play fast games, and you get paired with somebody who knows what they're talking about when it comes to the Chiefs and their future of their team in Chris Nocero. And I can guarantee you, folks, and I've known Chris for 8 years, I consider Chris a close friend. And I guarantee you that man was excited when he saw this information come out last night. So excited he was probably like me, probably like you, where we went home last night and you just watched YouTube videos because you were like, okay, let's see, what can he do on third and one?
So I didn't – last night I was like, okay, rugby player, let's see. Then it was really this afternoon.
It got real.
I went on YouTube. I was like, okay, you know, they made it official today, signed him. Okay, let me start watching the videos. And NFL UK is the channel that they have. Apparently, they got some British people out here teaching these people football, which is different because I didn't know that the Brits like football like that, other than the ones that show up to the international games over at in Wembley. And yeah, I turned it on. I watched. Like I said, they got this series. I can't remember what it's called, but it's on NFL UK. It's International Player Program. Really, you could just search for Lewis. What is it? Lewis Reese. Zammit, and you can you could find that series on there. It'll be one of the first things that comes up. And also, there's like a highlight video of him playing rugby for Gloucester Rugby. Oh my God!
I'm glad you said that because there's no way I was going to attempt that.
I heard him say it enough. I heard him say it enough.
Rewind, play again.
Yeah, but yeah, like, and I mean, this kid got some wheels.
Yeah.
He's like 6'3", 190, so he's got good size to him. Like, he'd be like a real big wide receiver. And, you know, wide receiver, running back, I think he's probably more so a receiver than a running back, but he's more of like he'll probably be a gadget guy.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee he's going to make the roster. We got to see what happens in, you know, all the camps and whatnot. But he's 23. He's got some wheels on him. He's kind of like a Pacheco type in that he's big. You know, he's way bigger than Pacheco is, but he's got some weight on him. Mm-hmm. He'll put his shoulder down. He'll run through guys, and he's really agile. He's got really good cuts. He'll juke guys out of their shoes. I mean, that was one of the big things he was doing there is like, you know, they do those lateral throws as opposed to forward passes in rugby, and he'll catch him and he'll just go and he'll like juke one guy and he's gone. So he's about 4.4 speed. So he's not like Tyreek Hill or anything like that, but 4.4 speed for a guy that size and a guy that big. Yeah. You'll take that with him. So he's really interesting.
Yeah,
I like it.
And speaking of Tyreek Hill, he was clocked last year at 23.24 miles per hour at the fastest of the season. This kid, 24.2 miles per hour. Now, big difference, no pads on yet.
Right.
Got to see that first. But seems like he's somewhere around the range of 4.3, 4.35 speed. The other thing that's interesting to me, the guy's got ham hocks for legs.
Massive legs.
Which, I mean, par for the course for rugby, soccer, or football players as well. Like, even Leo Messi, who's like 5'5", 5'6".
Little.
Legs are ginormous.
Yeah.
It's just, they use
He's got very skinny upper body, but he's got some pretty toned legs.
Yeah. I mean, the guy can leg press probably 850. And I think what's great about this, which is maybe not funny in a sense, but funny weirdly, that the year the NFL is going to change certain things, because we saw the new kickoff rule, which is, I don't know if it's as complex as like what the drawing board says until you actually see it, or if you go watch the XFL of how they did it, it makes a little bit more sense. But this is something that it just shows you how much ahead of the curve Brett Veach and Andy Reid are. Like, this is something where they see new rules, and then Brett Veach goes out of his comfort zone and looks at other things, because this isn't obviously the first rugby player to try to make it in the NFL. There have been others. You just probably don't know their names. I mean, a lot of them.
One that's very prominent is Jordan Mailata,
yeah,
left tackle for the Eagles.
For the Eagles.
He was a rugby player down in Australia and had a lot of injuries, had weight issues.
Yeah.
He got scouted, went to the international player program, and thrived as a tackle.
And so, the other thing is I believe Pete Sweeney was telling us last night that he doesn't necessarily count as a roster spot because of what you were talking about earlier with the, what is it, the, not the portal, but like the, he's not necessarily an NFL player yet. He's not on a roster. So you have time to like wait till you get there and then you can develop. And again, we don't even know if he's going to make the team. But what's interesting is the Chiefs are ahead of the curve trying to find some sort of, I don't know, gimmick in the system. Not only that, but this seems like a kind of guy that on third and one, fourth and one, or short goal line yardage, seems like that's where you'd need a rugby guy to be kind of effective. Hey, it's third and two from the three. Why don't we throw a toss to this guy and just see what he can do? Because he was making people move and miss on the videos that I've seen. And the way that he gets in the open space, and if his speed is there, 24.2 miles per hour is what he's clocked at last year in a game or a match, then there's a chance inside that massive playbook of Andy Reid's that there's about four plays where his name sticks out. Like, could you imagine running corn dog with a little bit of mustard and ketchup on it with this kid?
I don't know if you run corn dog with him.
Oh, but I could.
I would. You know those plays where they do those like they do those tosses up the middle. On yep. those, yeah, they fake
the little shuttle pass,
like play action, and they do the shuttle route.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's where he would get value in. I also think jet sweeps as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you could do. You can line him up in the backfield. Like I said, he just seems like a gadget player. I don't know if like he's gonna be the next great receiver or anything.
Right, yeah,
but I think he's a gadget player, and I think there's a lot of value in that just because. If he turns into something better, then that's great. But, I mean, this is really a low-risk signing by the team.
And a massive high reward.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's very low risk. You don't have to use any draft picks to get a kid like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Eagles had to draft Jordan Mailata. So, the fact that you don't have to draft him is really nice. So, this is really low risk. And if it turns out to work, the Chiefs are going to look like geniuses just like the Eagles do with Mailata.
Yeah, I also know that he wears number 14, so I'm interested to see if he brings that over or if he does, like, the bizarre, like, random number that you could see for, like, a guy like this. I don't know what his player comp would be. Again, he's, like, 6'3", 194. Gonna have to put some meat on him. I believe you gotta, which won't be hard. Introduce him to the Midwest. We can put meat on your bones real fast. We can put 10 pounds on you real fast.
Maybe. I mean, he might not need to put on. I mean, for that position group, like 190 is pretty good for that position group. So I think he might be fine with his weight.
Where do you see a tush push being invented for the Kansas City Chiefs?
I don't think that happened.
Okay.
Maybe it. I think you would much rather, like, he's one of those guys you want to kind of get him in space
because mm-hmm.
that's kind of where his thing was. Is he was like a winger in rugby.
Yeah.
So he was more so along the sidelines, and a guy is about to go down, and they lateral it over to him, and he just goes. So I think that's probably where his I'll say this. You know Travis Kelce likes to throw laterals.
Yeah.
I can imagine that they will do something like that with Kadarius Toney. And I'll tell you this. This kid can catch.
Yeah.
He can catch because he got a lot. That's what his game was catching laterals. I suspect that he could be a guy that they'll run some type of hook and ladder play with him. And Kelce will catch it. He'll come up the sideline. They'll pitch it to him. He just goes up the sideline. I would not be shocked. If he makes the roster, I would not be shocked if that's a play that they use at some point during the season.
Would you have to think that Mahomes and Reed have already started drawing on napkins and pieces of paper of where to put this kid involved inside their offense and what they can do with him? Also, when do we see the Mahomes rugby pass from behind the line of scrimmage? Like the fake handoff, and then he turns over to his right and then throws that little rugby pass.
I wouldn't be shocked if they ran like the speed option
with
those two where like a triple option with the speed on the back end. And Mahomes, like he's running next to Mahomes, and then Mahomes just does the pitch, the lateral, and he's gone. I think they're going to do a lot of things with him. Screen passes is something that he might be really good at too just because of his size and his ability to get up to speed real quick. There's so many things you could do with someone with that kind
of talent. I'm kind of excited.
I mean, he's got to make the roster first, so I don't want to, like, get too ahead and, you know, prognosticate that he's going to make the roster and be this great player because it's very hard to transition from rugby to football. American football is very difficult.
Especially the position he wants to play. He's not playing, like, lineman or defensive line where it's like, hey, get the quarterback and use your speed. This is like, you got to be here, know it's going to come this way, and you got to read the field. So,
yeah.
Which they do that in rugby, but it's in a more simplistic way than it is in the NFL, especially in an Andy Reid offensive set with that playbook.
Yeah, I mean, I would compare, like, it's like a cross between football and soccer. It's just very different. Everything in the NFL is a lot more strategic and upfront, and, you know, there's a lot of movement pre-snap, and then after that you just go. So there's a lot more strategy involved with it, more as, like, in rugby, it's more like game feel than anything. So that'll be an adjustment for sure, but... If the Chiefs felt comfortable enough to go out there and sign him, then clearly they see something besides just the physical aspect to sign him. Because there's a lot of guys that are really good athletes, but I think they see something there. And you watch, you know, his rugby highlights, you watch the stuff from that documentary where he does run drills.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he seems to kind of be getting the route running down and catching down and whatnot. And so, yeah, if he can really... you know, improve upon that, then, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of interesting things they could do with them.
We'll continue this conversation. I'll give you an update of the college basketball Sweet 16. One game at half, the other game back in action. The game at half is UConn, and they are playing, I just forgot,
San Diego State.
They're up 38 to 31. The other game, the second half, has just started between Clemson and Arizona. This is After Hours. Chris Nocero, Dusty Likens. We'll continue Chiefs conversation, draft, and a running back that could possibly find a home in Kansas City. I feel like Chris is going to disagree with me, but that's okay. That's what good conversations are about. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Clemson is up 45-43 on Arizona. I believe that is the score. They just took it away, but I believe that's what I saw. And UConn leads San Diego State 40-31.
Yeah, it looked like Arizona might be dead in the water there for a little bit, and they're down by 11, but they were able to get it pretty close before the half, and now they're down by two still, 45-43.
Can we have a small discussion about college basketball's tournament this year?
Sure.
Why are the games so late on a Thursday night? Are they always this way, or am I just...
They're always this way.
Okay, I just... Iowa State game, Illinois game's electric. It's not going to tip off till like 9:20.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be up that whole game.
It's always late, and it's just it's the problem. And this is the problem with doing it on the week, is like there's no good time to do those games unless you do them all at the same time, and you do like a red zone type thing with it. But that's not what any of the networks want. They want their commercials to be seen, so you're not going to do a red zone type thing. That's why they stagger the start times. Yeah. To maximize the ratings.
Exactly. We got Alabama, North Carolina coming up a little bit later tonight, and then Illinois. I believe that game's at like 8:36 is what they said. That ain't going to start at 8:36.
Arizona just took the lead, 46-45.
Yeah, they hit a free throw, then they got a steal, and then now it's going back to Clemson's side.
Oh, well, Clemson just got a three.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Welcome to the Sweet 16. I feel like the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight weekend is better than the opening weekend.
Better quality basketball. The one thing about it is like I remember back when I used to root for KU, is like Sweet 16 and Elite Eight was like, that was those are the heartbreakers right there. Like obviously like the Bradley Bucknell stuff hurt, but like when they get past those first two rounds, you're like, okay, they're good. Like they're good now. Now that we know they're not going to get upset, and then they get to like Sweet 16 and they lose like. Or Elite Eight and lose to like Georgia Tech.
Also have a hot take of, I don't need Cinderella stories after the first weekend. I'd rather it just be like, what was that kid's name from Oakland? I forget what his name.
I don't remember.
The kid that hit threes
with the
receding hairline.
The guy who looked like he was 30 years old.
Yeah, because he probably was like 27.
Yeah, the guy who...
Golchick or whatever his name was.
Golki, I think it was.
Yeah, we've already forgotten who he was. Cinderella story.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, he's not going to the NBA.
Right.
No,
but he got a good couple NIL deals for one game.
He's going to be selling insurance. He's going to be in Copperfit commercials here in a few years.
I just saw a commercial the other day, and it had to be based out of Arkansas, which I don't know why it's playing in Lee's Summit, Missouri. They got Darren McFadden as their selling point.
I mean, that's a good one for Arkansas.
Maybe 10 years ago.
Good one? I mean, no, that's
how long has he been out of the NFL?
Probably like 7-8 years.
Okay.
Actually, no, it might be like 8 or 9.
Yeah,
8 or 9. What was he? Did he stop? It had to be like 15 or 16.
I mean, that's damn near 10, Daddy.
Maybe it was like 17 or 18.
Because they had the tandem of him and Felix Jones, right, at Arkansas? Yeah. And then got beat by Mizzou in the bowl game?
Yes.
With Tony T from Rockhurst?
Arkansas was fun to watch back then.
Yeah, back then.
It's a good running back tandem. Felix was pretty good. He's a good backup in the NFL.
They were both good. That's back when people ran two running backs in college football.
Well, I mean, they do it now. I mean, a lot of teams run like two or three now, and then the running backs get pissed off and they transfer.
True. Alabama one time had like four D1 running backs all on the same damn roster.
Yeah, they can't do that anymore now. No. NIL, you can't do that no more.
Alvin Kamara would have never gone to Alabama.
That transfer portal, you can't do that no more.
Mm-mm. Speaking of running backs, Chiefs are going to add one or draft one? You think both?
I can see both. I can see them drafting one third day and then signing one just get a veteran guy that's been in the league for a while that knows, you know, runs a similar system, and then get a young guy that's going to give you a little bit more juice, a little energy in the run game. Ooh. I think both are on the table.
J.K. Dobbins. Pass?
Man.
I know injuries are there.
Them knees, bro.
This just screams like a Brett Veach type of player.
It is very much a Brett Veach guy, yeah.
Like, look, dude, you're 25 years old, 26 years old. You've yet to experience, you know, winning because you've been hurt. Baltimore hasn't really won anything of significance since you've been there. Now, 53-48 Clemson, 12:55 left in the second half of this game, of the first of the Sweet 16 matchups that'll go on today and tomorrow. But it seems like J.K. Dobbins also is a player that can be very easily persuaded with the narrative or the pitch that they like to use. Hey, we're not going to give you a ton of money. We're going to pay you enough and base it all on incentives because of injuries and what you've had in the past. But there's a chance that if it works out, and we all thought running back paydays were dead in the water, and then this year's free agency hit, and that completely turned that completely around. Running backs got paid this offseason.
I mean, they didn't get like a ton of guarantees, but like the AAV was a little bit up, yeah. It was up from last offseason.
Correct.
For sure.
I don't see why J.K. Dobbins would be a bad situation in Canada. I get it, injuries, but again, Isaiah Pacheco is your bell cow and will be at least for the next 2 years until he's in his last year as a contract of a player, and then he's a free agent and definitely doesn't get paid like he should or will for the Kansas City Chiefs because he'll just be a free agent. They'll draft another one. But I do think he would be a good combo, again, if healthy and can stay healthy, which means you wouldn't have to pay a lot for him. You could incentivize that contract very, very well. And I think that's something that Brett Veach and Andy Reid could play with when it comes to a guy like J.K. Dobbins. Great in the pass game. I'm pretty sure he knows how to block. If he's on a team with Lamar Jackson, who can be anywhere at any time, you got to be on your, you got to be in your peripheral and know where what's coming. And I think that this would be a guy on this team with the sort of narrative that they get people to come to the Kansas City Chiefs. That seems like the kind of guy that would fit this roster.
I am not opposed to it. I just draft a running back too.
Sure.
Just cause them knees, man. And like, here's the thing about it is, like, as we both know, in our 30s now, mid-30s, once you start getting hurt a lot in your 20s, It don't get easier. You don't get healthier, especially because he's had three serious injuries in his career, two torn ACLs and a torn Achilles now, which is coming back. Actually, no. Yeah, it's the torn Achilles he had last season, right?
Yeah, and then he blew his ACL out in training camp one year, like the first day of training camp.
Yeah, and, like, I think he's really talented. I wanted them to draft him over Clyde in 21. So, like, I like J.K., and, you know, I think it would be very much one of those situations where, like, if it works, cool. If it doesn't, I don't know. You know, it's unfortunate. I just hope that if they do get him, they're not going to put him in a position where they have to rely on him. Mm-hmm. That's why I think probably third day, go get a running back too as some insurance. And, you know, if it works out with J.K. and he turns out, to work with Pacheco is a good 1-2 punch in the backfield. Cool. That's great. That'll work out. But as long as they're not in a position where they're relying on him to go out there and do the things that Jet did, because I just, considering the fact that he's only 25 and he's got multiple serious season ending injuries, I mean, the likelihood of it happening is a lot more that it happens than it doesn't. So,
right.
Like I said, I'm cool with it. As long as they don't go out there and make a serious investment and, you know, they're not in a position where they are basically strategizing that we have to have this guy on the field for X amount of carries over each game. Like, as long as it's low risk, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, 10 total touches and maybe not even that in a game. Give him
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Give him like 7 total
five
targets.
To 7 I would look at. I would look at 5 to 7 a game, and then you see what happens and maybe you could work your way up if he's electric, but
yeah.
I like I said, I think you want to be smart, and I think you probably want to get a younger draft a younger running back too.
Be nice to just pad it up. Go get the three-peat. Draft picks are coming in. The draft is around the corner. Chris Unicero, you hear him on Character Concerns podcast with Jay Binkley. Dusty Likens with you on After Hours. When we come back, wide receiver must in the first round, or is it time to start looking outside of that because things will start to fall a little bit more for your side of it where everybody else is going? You can go the opposite. We'll see what happens. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll dive more into what was opening day. Plus, we have the out of left field question at 8 o'clock. All of that here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
About 10 minutes, we'll get you to the out of left field question tonight. Only two more. Then the season's over. And I get to go on a nice vacation. Kind of a forced vacation. A Vern vacation. Need these Royals to win. Vern was hot tonight.
Yeah, he was. He just like, hey, man. Get as many callers as you can early because I do not want – I know I'm going to blow a gasket if I don't have callers.
It was funny because I had to leave the game early because I got to get here, and I didn't want to get caught in traffic. And Vern texted me and asked me about his double play and the future of this season and all that. And then I texted him back kind of sarcastically. I said, do you think I'll have a show? He goes, if they lose, I'm going to be pissed. So plan on it.
He was, he asked me, is it Dusty there? Cause he thought you were loaded at the game.
No, dude, I'm responsible.
He thought you were loaded at the game. So he wanted to make sure he was good.
Nah, dude, I'm responsible.
I was like, yeah, Dusty good. He's over in the bullpen. You good, man.
Yeah. I had two sodas, two Miller Lights. And then I just sat and watched the game, and it was funny, because guess where the boss sat? Right next to me.
Of course he did, yeah.
Nah, just because we had a lot of people there big in a section. There was, like, yeah. Other fans have their seats, and we had our seats. But, yeah, it was just coincidentally. But, yeah, I was – as soon as my beer was gone, I was like, I don't think I should go get another one.
Well, yeah, he's going to be like, Dusty, you good? Yeah. He's going to start asking questions.
Because I remember every time we do the live beer release at a center
block.
Oh,
yeah, he sends out that email every time.
Like, he'll reassure as if I didn't read the email. Yeah. He goes, you get one. He goes, you can have one. After the show's over, you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You just get home safe and don't anything stupid.
Yeah, no, he sends out. That's mainly for the new guys. It's mainly for the other part-timers that ain't been here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, he wants everyone to know, hey, don't do anything stupid out here.
Yeah. You represent a brand. Wide receiver, first pick?
I mean, unless there's another player that they have to have.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, wide receiver. First round.
Does Xavier Worthy fall to 32? Or does the 40 times still do it for you in the NFL draft where you can go from maybe a 32nd pick to the 21st?
So here's the interesting thing about Xavier. A lot of people think he's a second round value, but I don't think, unless A.D. Mitchell gets taken before the Bills, not by the Chiefs, then yeah, I think Xavier Worthy does not make it past 28. So I think if you're the Chiefs, I mean, if you really want Xavier Worthy and or A.D. Mitchell, I think you probably trade up to with the Cardinals at 27.
Because they're picking what? Second overall? Third overall?
Who?
The Cardinals. No, they're
the Cardinals are fourth.
Fourth overall.
They have the fourth overall, and they have the 27th overall in the first round. So, like,
a lot of people have them taking Marvin Harrison Jr., right?
Yeah, if he's there. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, like,
where
the
we are right now, Caleb Williams number one?
Yes. Yeah. Caleb JJ Williams is locked in one. So two is interesting.
Yeah.
Because it could be JJ, it could be Drake May, it could be Jaden Daniels. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I tend to think that someone's probably going to trade up with Washington and take JJ, or someone is going to trade up with the Patriots and take JJ at three. If I were Washington, I would take Jaden Daniels at two.
Okay.
I would not take JJ at two.
That elbow doesn't scare you? That's just a slow motion photo?
Yeah, I don't care about the photo.
Like, that is a weird photo.
It's a weird photo.
Because if you look at Andy Reid throwing out the first pitch today from, like, the media sources, it kind of is. It's just that slow motion, but, like, his looks like it's a loose bone somewhere.
If his elbow was really that messed up, there's no way anyone would be talking about him as a first round pick.
So you would agree that we're looking at probably the first three picks are almost locks as quarterbacks.
Yeah, unless the Patriots get a little crazy and third overall they decide they're going to go Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. And then after that, we're going to hit that epic run again like we've seen the last couple of years where it's just receiver, 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 receiver.
So I don't
you guys
think
what, eight in the first round?
I think it could be up to seven or eight, but I don't know. I'm kind of – and I talked about it last couple of weeks. I was like, I might be – I'm a little skeptical. It might be – it'll be seven or eight. I think I could – because I think the real run is going to be on tackles.
Okay.
That's going to be where the real run is, I think. I think Joe Alt, Olufoshanu, Talisi Fuaga, guys like that, I think are going to go really quick because, I mean,
Are all left tackles, right?
All those guys are left tackles.
Yeah.
Those three are.
Yeah.
Fuaga is actually more of a right tackle. I think he's a right tackle, but like, think about how many injuries we saw from quarterbacks this year.
Right. Yeah.
More than half. Like, I think it was like 2/3 of the AFC. I think it was like, I want to say it was like 11 of the 16 teams had a starting quarterback go down with injury. And you're looking at it and you're like, okay, we cannot have that happen again. Edge rushers are coming against these tackles and they're killing our quarterbacks. Mm. We need to make sure we protect them. So I really feel like left tackle, right tackle, like tackles in general are going to go really quick in the first round.
Is it just me too, or was like left tackle kind of a not a strong position this year?
I think it's pretty good, but I think right tackle is a little bit stronger because I think there's more prospects there.
Yeah,
I think like you could probably get like some good left tackle prospects day two, but if you're not getting Alt or Fashanu, it's going to be a little tough. Like maybe Faletanu from Washington, but I kind of think he's going to get moved into guard because he's got really short arms. So
sure.
I kind of feel like, and he's actually, no, it's not arms. He's a little bit smaller. I think he's like under 6'4".
Okay.
So I think he probably moves into guard, but yeah, I mean, there's going to be a run on tackles in the first round, I think, just because a lot of teams saw their quarterbacks get absolutely plastered and they're like, we got to protect these guys.
So you look at the draft, you look at what, four or five quarterbacks in the first round?
I think up to five.
Okay. Six to seven wide receivers in the first round?
I think about six to seven.
Okay. So we're at 12, 13 picks.
Probably about seven tackles.
Okay. So we're at 21 picks. It seems like you got a slew of options to pick at cornerback in this year's draft at 32. Am I wrong or do you wait?
I'm not taking a cornerback at 32.
Okay.
I'm not taking a corner at 30. And on top of that, I just don't think the Chiefs need to take one that high.
Okay.
They're pretty deep at corner right now. They'll probably go one third day, I think. I think they'll go get a guy who is a Legarius Sneed type, who is like probably smaller college, great athlete, but needs some molding because I think it was Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
And
fourth round.
Yeah, fourth round. So he was one of those guys that was like a project guy when they brought him in. And we saw the fruits of that labor really quickly his rookie year. I kind of think that's where they go. It's not a great corner class. And a lot of these corners are really small.
Okay.
And the Chiefs kind of seem like they've gravitated towards more bigger corners. So
they like the physical, McDuffie type of guys.
Yeah, they like and McDuffie's a little bit small.
But he plays bigger.
He plays bigger.
Yeah.
He carries a lot more weight than someone who's 5'11 normally does. But they generally are more into the bigger guys, and the guys at the top of the class and really throughout most of the class are kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to think that, you know, unless they find a gym who's big and tests great from an athletic score standpoint, I'm not sure that they're going to do that early.
Because McDuffie they traded up for, right?
Yeah, they moved up to, I think it was 21 to go get
in front of the Bills.
Yeah, yeah. And then
Shocker.
The Bills took Kyrie Elam, and Kyrie Elam's not even a starter for them anymore.
Right, yeah. Somebody says, as Kool-Aid falls to draft 32, would you take him there?
No, I'm not taking Kool-Aid.
You're not drinking the Kool-Aid?
No. Okay. Like, he's got like a fracture in his foot. So I think he falls to the second round.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not taking a corner in the first round, man. Like,
that's normally not, and that's, I mean, I know McDuffie you've had in the past, but there's a chance that if it works out, and we all thought running back paydays were dead in the water, and then this year's free agency hit, and that completely turned that completely around. Running backs got paid this offseason.
I mean, they didn't get like a ton of guarantees, but like the AAV was a little bit up, yeah. It was up from last offseason.
Correct.
For sure.
I don't see why J.K. Dobbins would be a bad situation in Canada. I get it, injuries, but again, Isaiah Pacheco is your bell cow and will be at least for the next 2 years until he's in his last year as a contract of a player, and then he's a free agent and definitely doesn't get paid like he should or will for the Kansas City Chiefs because he'll just be a free agent. They'll draft another one. But I do think he would be a good combo, again, if healthy and can stay healthy, which means you wouldn't have to pay a lot for him. You could incentivize that contract very, very well. And I think that's something that Brett Veach and Andy Reid could play with when it comes to a guy like J.K. Dobbins. Great in the pass game. I'm pretty sure he knows how to block. If he's on a team with Lamar Jackson, who can be anywhere at any time, you got to be on your, you got to be in your peripheral and know where what's coming. And I think that this would be a guy on this team with the sort of narrative that they get people to come to the Kansas City Chiefs. That seems like the kind of guy that would fit this roster.
I am not opposed to it. I just draft a running back too.
Sure.
Just cause them knees, man. And like, here's the thing about it is, like, as we both know, in our 30s now, mid-30s, once you start getting hurt a lot in your 20s, it don't get easier. You don't get healthier, especially because he's had three serious injuries in his career, two torn ACLs and a torn Achilles now, which he's coming back. Actually, no. Yeah, it's the torn Achilles he had last season, right?
Yeah, and then he blew his ACL out in training camp one year, the first day of training camp.
Yeah, and, like, I think he's really talented. I wanted them to draft him over Clyde in 21. So, like, I like J.K., and, you know, I think it would be very much one of those situations where, like, if it works, cool. If it doesn't, I don't know. You know, it's unfortunate. I just hope that if they do get him, they're not going to put him in a position where they have to rely on him. That's why I think probably third day, go get a running back too as some insurance. And, you know, if it works out with J.K. and he turns out, to work with Pacheco is a good 1-2 punch in the backfield. Cool. That's great. That'll work out. But as long as they're not in a position where they're relying on him to go out there and do the things that Jet did, because I just, considering the fact that he's only 25 and he's got multiple serious season ending injuries, I mean, the likelihood of it happening is a lot more that it happens than it doesn't. So,
right.
Like I said, I'm cool with it. As long as they don't go out there and make a serious investment and, you know, they're not in a position where they are basically strategizing that we have to have this guy on the field for X amount of carries over each game. Like, as long as it's low risk, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, 10 total touches and maybe not even that in a game. Give him
I don't know about that. Yeah.
Give him like 7 total
five
targets.
5 to 7, I would look at. I would look at 5 to 7 a game, and then you see what happens, and maybe you could work your way up if he's electric. But yeah. I think you want to be smart, and I think you probably want to get a younger, draft a younger running back too.
Be nice to just pad it up. Go get the three-peat. Draft picks are coming in. The draft is around the corner. Chris Unicero, you hear him on Character Concerns podcast with Jay Binkley. Dusty Likens with you on After Hours. When we come back, wide receiver must in the first round, or is it time to start looking outside of that because things will start to fall a little bit more for your side of it where everybody else is going? You can go the opposite. We'll see what happens. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll dive more into what was opening day. Plus, we have the out of left field question at 8 o'clock. All of that here on After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
About 10 minutes, we'll get you to the out of left field question tonight. Only two more. Then the season's over. And I get to go on a nice vacation. Kind of a forced vacation. A Vern vacation. Need these Royals to win. Vern was hot tonight.
Yeah, he was. He just like, hey, man, get as many callers as you can early because I do not want, I know I'm going to blow a gasket if I don't have callers.
It was funny because I had to leave the game early because I got to get here and I didn't want to get caught in traffic. And Vern texted me and asked me about his double play and the future of this season and all that. And then I texted him back kind of sarcastically. I said, do you think I'll have a show? He goes, if they lose, I'm going to be pissed. So plan on it.
He was, he asked me, is like, is it Dusty there? Cause he thought you were loaded at the game.
No, dude, I'm responsible.
He thought you were loaded at the game. So he wanted to make sure he was good.
Nah, dude, I'm responsible.
I was like, yeah, Dusty good. He's over in the bullpen. You good, man.
Yeah. I had two sodas, two Miller Lights, and then I just sat and watched the game, and it was funny because guess where the boss sat? Right next to him.
Of course he did. Yeah.
Nah, just because we had a lot of people there, big in a section. There was like other fans have their seats, and we had our seats. But yeah, it was just coincidentally. But yeah, I was as soon as my beer was gone. I was like, I don't think I should go get another one.
Well, yeah, he's going to be like, Dusty, you good? He's going to start asking questions.
Because I remember every time we do the live beer release at a Cinebon.
Oh, yeah, he sends out that email every
he'll
time.
Like, he'll and then he'll reassure as if I didn't read the email. He goes, you get one. You can have one. After the show's over, you do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
You just get home safe and don't anything stupid.
Yeah, no, he sends that's mainly for the new guys. It's mainly for the other part-timers that ain't been here.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he wants everyone to know, hey, don't do anything stupid out here.
Yeah. You represent a brand. Wide receiver, first pick.
I mean, unless there's another player that they have to have.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Wide receiver. First round.
Does Xavier Worthy fall to 32? Or does the 40 times still do it for you in the NFL draft where you can go from maybe a 32nd pick to the 21st?
So here's the interesting thing about Xavier. A lot of people think he's a second round value, but I don't think, unless A.D. Mitchell gets taken before the Bills, not by the Chiefs, then yeah, I think Xavier Worthy does not make it past 28, so... I think if you're the Chiefs, I mean, if you really want Xavier Worthy and or A.D. Mitchell, I think you probably trade up to with the Cardinals at 27.
Because they're picking what? Second overall? Third overall?
Who?
The Cardinals. No, they're
the Cardinals are fourth.
Fourth overall.
They have the fourth overall, and they have the 27th overall in the first round. So, like...
A lot of people have them taking Marvin Harrison Jr., right?
Yeah, if he's there. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if, like,
where
the
we Patriots... Are right now, Caleb Williams number one?
Yes. Yeah, Caleb. I think Caleb Williams is locked in one. So two is interesting.
Yeah.
Because it could be JJ, it could be Drake May, it could be Jaden Daniels. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I tend to think that someone's probably going to trade up with Washington and take JJ, or someone is going to trade up with the Patriots and take JJ at three. If I were Washington, I would take Jaden Daniels at two.
Okay.
I would not take JJ at two.
That elbow doesn't scare you? That's just a slow motion photo?
Yeah, I don't care about the photo.
Like, that is a weird photo.
It's a weird photo.
Because if you look at Andy Reid throwing out the first pitch today from like the media sources, it kind of is it's just that slow motion, but like his looks like it's a like a loose bone somewhere.
If his elbow was really that messed up, there's no way anyone would be talking about him as a first round pick.
So you would agree that we're looking at probably the first three picks are almost locks as quarterbacks.
Yeah, unless the Patriots get a little crazy and third overall they decide they're going to go Marvin Harrison Jr. Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay. And then after that, we're going to hit that epic run again like we've seen the last couple of years where it's just receiver, 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 receiver.
So I don't
think
that'll be
what, eight in the first round?
I think it could be up to seven or eight, but I don't know. I talked about it last couple of weeks. I was like, I'm a little skeptical. It might be, it'll be seven or eight. I think because I think the real run is going to be on tackles.
Okay.
That's going to be where the real run is, I think. I think Joe Alt, Olufoshinu, Talisi Fuaga, guys like that, I think are going to go really quick because, I mean,
those are all left tackles, right?
All those guys are left tackles.
Left tackle, yeah.
Those three are.
Yeah.
Well, Fuaga is actually more of a right tackle. I think he's a right tackle, but like, think about how many injuries we saw from quarterbacks this year.
Right, yeah.
A lot, like more than half, like I think it was like 2/3 of the AFC. I think it was like, I want to say it was like 11 of the 16 teams had a starting quarterback go down with injury. And you're looking at it and you're like, okay, we cannot have that happen again. Edge rushers are coming against these tackles and they're killing our quarterbacks. Mm. We need to make sure we protect them. So I really feel like left tackle, right tackle, like tackles in general are going to go really quick in the first round.
Is it just me too, or was like left tackle kind of a not a strong position this year?
I think it's pretty good, but I think right tackle is a little bit stronger because I think there's more prospects there.
Yeah.
I think like you could probably get like some good left tackle prospects day two, but if you're not getting Alt or Fashanu, it's going to be a little tough. Like maybe Faletanu from Washington, but I kind of think he's going to get moved into guard because he's got really short arms. So I kind of feel like, and he's actually, no, it's not arms. He's a little bit smaller. I think he's like
under 6'4". Okay. So I think he probably moves into guard. But, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a run on tackles in the first round, I think, just because a lot of teams saw their quarterbacks get absolutely plastered, and they're like, we got to protect these guys.
So you look at the draft, you look at, what, 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the first round?
I think up to 5.
Okay, 5 to 7 wide receivers in the first round?
I think about 6 to 7.
Okay, so we're at 12, 13 picks?
Probably about 7 tackles.
Okay, so we're at 21 picks? It seems like you got a slew of options to pick at cornerback in this year's draft at 32. Am I wrong or do you wait?
I'm not taking a cornerback at 32.
Okay.
I'm not taking a corner at 30. And on top of that, I just don't think the Chiefs need to take one that high.
Okay.
They're pretty deep at corner right now. They'll probably go one third day, I think. I think they'll go get a guy who is a Legarius Sneed type, who is like probably smaller college, great athlete, but needs some molding because I think it was Louisiana Tech.
Yep.
And
4th round.
Yeah, 4th round. So he was one of those guys that was like a project guy when they brought him in. And we saw the fruits of that labor really quickly his rookie year. I kind of think that's where they go. It's not a great corner class. And a lot of these corners are really small.
Okay.
And the Chiefs kind of seem like they've gravitated towards more bigger corners. So
they like the physical, McDuffie type of guys.
Yeah, they like and McDuffie's a little bit small.
But he plays bigger.
He plays bigger.
Yeah.
He carries a lot more weight than someone who's 5'11 normally does. But, they generally are more into the bigger guys, and the guys at the top of the class and really throughout most of the class are kind of small. Mm-hmm. So I tend to think that, you know, unless they find a gym who's big and tests great from an athletic score standpoint, I'm not sure that they're going to do that early.
Because McDuffie they traded up for, right?
Yeah, they moved up to, I think it was 21 to go get
in front of the Bills.
Yeah, yeah. And then Shocker. The Bills took Kyrie Elam, and Kyrie Elam's not even a starter for them anymore.
Right, yeah. Somebody says, as Kool-Aid falls to draft 32, would you take him there?
No, I'm not taking Kool-Aid.
You're not drinking not the Kool-Aid?
No. Okay. Like, he's got like a fracture in his foot, so I think he falls to the second round. Yeah. But, yeah, I'm not taking a corner in the first round, man. Like,
that's normally not, and that's, I mean, I know McDuffie was
I think he was an outlier.
Which is, because after they did, all of a sudden everybody was like, the next day, everybody's like, the steal of the draft is the kid out of Washington that went to Kansas City.
He was. Like, actually, it was him, but you could also make a case for Karloftis, too, who should have been a top 15 pick, and he dropped all the way to 30. So, I think you can make a very good case that Karloftis was the steal, too. But they also drafted Josh Williams on the third day and Jalen Watson on the third day. Both those guys are big, physical corners that they like. They can
Sneed
play press
was a third
man.
Day.
Yeah, he was a 4th round, 3rd day pick. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Chiefs have a certain type, and the guys at the top really don't fit that. So,
yeah. So you're looking at receiver or tackle at the end of the first round then, after we wrap this whole thing up?
I'm not really looking at tackle either.
Okay. So just receiver.
Receiver, or there's one guy that I think I think they could take. That's Darius Robinson, who's a defensive lineman. They list him
as
a
Mizzou
edge.
Guy, right?
He's a Mizzou guy.
Yeah.
They list him at edge. I think he's probably a defensive tackle. He's like 285 pounds. Like, you don't see a lot of those guys rushing off the edge like that unless they move around.
Mm.
Like, I look at him, and I think if there's anybody in this draft that could be the next Chris Jones, it's him. Like, he has the body type. He doesn't quite have the weight, but he has, like, similar, like, he's very strong. Mm. He's got good mobility for a defensive lineman, and you watch him in one-on-ones, and he has a potential to be unblockable in a one-on-one situation. You might have to double him, just like you do with Chris Jones. So he can move around. I'm a big fan of Darius.
And who does Chris Jones play for? Who did he sign with?
Yeah, we already know.
Okay.
We already know.
College scoreboard update, 65-58, Clemson over Arizona, getting ready to go to the media timeout under 8, 7:20 left there. UConn handling business. They're up 47-35 with 15 minutes left. You know they're going to win by 20. That's just UConn. They just beat everybody by 20 points. But like we do every night at 8 o'clock, we get the text line. We give you a little break from sports. We give you a little fun. We do the out of left field question. Tonight's question, what is something you believe you could just pick up and be kind of decent at or good at? What is something, sports related, whatever it may be, what is something you think you could pick up that you've never done that you think that you could be pretty good at? 913-586-7610. Again, the out of left field question. What is something you think you could pick up that you've never done that you think you'd be pretty decent at? Chris Nocero, Dusty Likens, just after hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.